This episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by Muzzle. Deploying, managing, and protecting Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult or require several solutions. Muzzle is the only Apple unified platform for business. By combining enhanced device management, endpoint security, internet privacy and security, single sign-on, and enhanced app management into a single Apple-only platform, businesses can now easily and automatically deploy, manage, protect their Apple devices automatically with one solution at an affordable price. With a solution for every business size and the best support in the market, start a free 30-day trial and see firsthand why Muzzle is more than an Apple MDM. Muzzle is everything you need to work with Apple. To learn more, visit business.muzzle.com. That's business.muzzle.com. Thanks to Muzzle for sponsoring Apple at Work this week.
Welcome to Apple at Work, the podcast all about Apple and the enterprise. My name is Bradley Chambers, your host. This week on the show, I am excited to welcome someone I've known for got to be 7-8 years at this point, Jeremy Butcher from Apple, who leads product marketing for enterprise and education. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
It's kind of hitting that time of year where as we move into the summer, we are looking forward to all the excitement of iOS 26, macOS 26, and all the things that go along with that coming out this fall. Of course, yours truly has been running the betas all summer. And I always, it's like I always wonder why my battery life is a little iffy in the summer. It's because I choose to run betas. And it's like the life you lead as someone in tech. But it is just part of the fun. So I guess to kick off the show, obviously we want to talk about all the things that are new for IT teams with Apple, as it obviously affects enterprise, education, small businesses, lots of great enhancements this year. I think what I want to start with is device management service migration. I think this has been on my wish list for a long time. I know a lot of people I talk to in the industry have been excited about this. Why this year?
Why this year? Like enough things came together that we were able to do it. It wasn't any major change. But it kind of ebbs and flows. Like sometimes it's really, people are talking about it. Other years they're not. And so when we get close to doing it, it's like, oh, is this as hot as it used to be? But we kind of looked back recently and was like, yeah, it's been a steady drumbeat. So let's go address this. We're super excited because, as you said, folks are very, very interested in it. And we've already seen folks playing around with it and doing some good stuff. So
I don't even think it's just about my vendor went up. And I think if anything, this is the good thing. One of the things that come is this will help customers with when vendors, hey, we're going to give you really, really cheap year one, we're going to get you migrated. And obviously there were ways to migrate before, but it wasn't as seamless. There was a lot of handholding you had to do, a lot of just manual brute force processes. And obviously that happens. Like, we're going to get you migrated. And then, the thing vendors will, in year two, they just have to increase the price, not so much that it warrants you wanting to go through that again. But that's a use case and that is a reality. But something I'm hearing from a lot of people is there's a lot of companies that are running multiple device management services simply because of mergers and acquisitions. And it's like, it's really, you end up just paying, having these subsets and there's security implications there, having multiples. And that, I think that's one of the biggest use cases here.
For sure. Yeah. We've talked to folks, like you said, who I made a choice. I want to switch. Totally makes sense. That's existed for a long time. But we've heard, especially in the last 2 years, a lot of that, we did an acquisition, we need to consolidate. And as you know, a lot of folks would otherwise just wait for hardware refresh to do that. And some folks don't refresh as fast. And so, like you said, they end up with 2-3 different systems. This will allow them to consolidate. The other thing that we've seen is a decent amount of consolidation in the MDM space. If you kind of look at the last 10 years, there were a lot. Then there was lots of consolidation. There's some new ones. So that's just like, as that changes as well, all of that just leads to that kind of drift, of having multiple that folks want to go back and clean up. And there is a lot to do operationally. This will not solve, all the email communications that you're going to want to send and everything else. But we do hold the end user's hand through each step of it pretty well. Like, it's a pretty impressive in its simplicity for the end user. It's just like, it's now's the time and click, 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 and you're done.
This is really one of the benefits of the Apple Business Manager / Apple School Manager, you know, ecosystem foundation connected with the activation layer. That this is the benefit here, because in reality, by having these foundations, you're able to actually give customers a lot of control with those external vendors. And one of the things I'm just super passionate about personally in the enterprise is anti-vendor lock-in. Like, you make a decision today, you want to be able to make decisions and evolve your businesses and not be tied to a company for like business reasons. Like, you know, you want to be able to like, hey, we want optionality here. So I think you're just seeing the fruits of the hard work that Apple did to say, hey, we're going to go Apple Business Manager is really just a critical aspect to winning, you know, with Apple at work.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's great, because I think if we would have made this something that device management vendors had to adopt, they would have done it, because there's the same upside for them as there is potential downside of people moving. But the team actually came up with a way to do it directly in Apple Business Manager, allowing for a business manager to actually be the thing that's sending the notification down to the device. And so as a result, it's available now. Like, folks can be doing this right now. And so it just, and at scale, because, you know, there's a lot of people using Apple Business Manager, School Manager, they have a lot of devices. And so for that to just kind of like, after WWDC, it's all just there because it's a service. It's pretty powerful in the impact that it can have.
Thing I've been really happy with Apple on the enterprise is you all have really come at it from a very first principles, a very customer friendly, very customer focused, and like actually meeting IT teams where they're at and realizing like, hey, you all have really complex jobs and building tools for IT teams. And it's almost like, you know, you went to Apple's own internal teams like, hey, how would you like to build this? And I think that's what's so great about it. And I'm thrilled for this feature, and I'm just thrilled the foundational level that Apple is at in the enterprise, right?
Yeah, we feel good. I mean, it's one of those things that if you never have to use it, we're super happy for you. But if you do, we hope it makes your life a lot easier.
Moving on, I want to talk about managed Apple accounts. And this is something that you all have really been innovating over the past couple of years. And I think the one of the best features you're launching for is coming this year. And it's the ability to kind of have some insight into people who've used their corporate email to sign up for iCloud accounts over the years. And as you transition as a company to managed Apple accounts, you're able to kind of get ahead of those pain points. Because if you just migrate, you often, right now you didn't know who was what. And, you could have a situation where someone had used their corporate email to sign up for an iCloud account and then using that with iMessage. Like, there's just a lot of complexity there. Has this been something you've been hearing from customers? Like, hey, we need a better way to get ahead of these. It's really just a communication issue. Get ahead of the communication issue.
Yeah, this one is many years in the making. And it's, as you kind of mentioned, there's just so many different things that we need to chip away at in order to truly get people to where we think they should be. And the start of it is really, hey, we did something interesting with app distribution where we did device-based app assignment, which is great. And it's super easy for folks, but that kind of came out of a time frame when it was really hard to do accounts. And so this, instead of solving the accounts problem, we went down this path with apps. The reality is that worked for apps, but it's not going to work for every cool thing that we come up with in the future. And we've seen this now for many years, like, it's tied to having an account. And so, again, years ago, we decided we're not going to try to swim upstream. We're going to lean into this and make it so that everybody can have an account should they want to use something on the services side. But it's been a lot. It's like, you've got to federate. You've got to figure out directory sync. Now we've got to go clean up the namespace. How are we going to do domain capture? Like, all the stuff that you've seen along the years has just been, just keep chipping away at everything. And as you mentioned, in the course of many years, a lot of people went off and created an account with their work email that maybe they thought was their work account because they had a separate one for personal use. They only used it for work things. But because they know the username and password and because they set it up, it is their account, even though it's on a company email address. And so that's what, allowing folks to clean up the namespace, great. But to your point, I'd really like to know who might have a conflict, because if it's somebody that's like an executive, they're maybe not going to be happy to get this surprise. And so I'd like to be able to go do a little bit of extra, you know, care and attention to those folks. And so we figured out a way to ultimately share with IT the list of known conflicts on your domain. And so you just get a list. You can go communicate with those people specifically and say, I'm going to hit the button in a couple of days. Here's what you're going to see. Call me if you need me, whatever it is that you want to communicate. But it allows you to do that and just make sure that it's as seamless as possible for folks.
Yeah, you brought up device-based app assignment. I remember when that launched, that really was an absolutely critical feature at the time. And it was, even in a world of managed Apple accounts, I'm still preferred device-based app assignment. Maybe I'm wrong, but I still love it. That was a top five feature for me all time that Apple has shipped on the enterprise.
It was a big one. And you know this, I think, very well from your education days. It was at a time where it was just a very different accounts story. There are benefits to going down the account-based path these days, actually. So just a simple example, especially in an enterprise context, if you've got an iPad and an iPhone and you want to deploy it to both, you just assign it to the account. As opposed to device-based, you've got to go a license per device. But it is a top greatest hits for sure. But we have absolutely been... like I said, recognize that that's not going to work for everything. And so we got to lean into this account management stuff a lot more.
Well, I think what you're seeing a theme here with what Apple has announced and is releasing this year in the enterprise is there's a, you know, when you get a foundation right, and then you can build on top of that foundation. And this is, you know, this is one of them is getting, is there's a lot of things that gives Apple opportunities to build awesome things in the future that may not even like we even can think about today, but just as technology evolves, like it just, you know, problems arise and you're like, okay, let's go solve this problem. And getting the managed Apple accounts, that's going to be one of those foundational things for companies in the future. Let's talk about deployment. Platform SSO is coming into the Setup Assistant, and that really, I think, is the last missing piece of like things that make the deployment like stupidly easy is the only way I can think of. Like it is like I think of like 20 years ago how we used to deploy PCs, and I think about how you deploy a Mac today, and it kind of just, you couldn't even imagine how simple it is. How do you think this changes like the first day experience for new hires, for, you know, new deployments? Like how does this impact that?
If you look at this year's changes, they're in some ways modeled after what we had done on iPhone and iPad with enrollment SSO. And it all comes down to the order of operations, which is we want to get to a point where you enter your username and password once, like truly once. And by, like you said, pulling platform SSO up even further, we can now get to that reality where you sign in with your username, it links you to your identity provider, downloads the SSO app that you need, you sign in to that password into that account, and you're kind of done. I mean, the setup process, the place where you go to actually set up your username and password is all grayed out, because by the time you get to that, we've already done all of the linking in the cloud. And it's been a good evolution. We've definitely been chipping away at it. This is kind of the third year with platform SSO, but this, we hope, is really the missing piece to make that all happen. And it coincides, luckily for us, with Microsoft coming out of preview. So we've now got Okta and Microsoft both supporting this fully in production. And we've got this update on our side that we think is just going to make it easier than ever to do this in the Setup Assistant.
Well, and two, I think the beauty here, and it goes what was said earlier about the anti-vendor login, when companies, I mean, obviously, like on the hardware side, like Microsoft and Apple compete, but like on this, if you're like, we're going to collaborate, like it's really good when companies who even compete in certain industries can collaborate, because that's actually good for customers. And really, too, this isn't an important thing for security. And that's when like the entire industry has to work together. And I just love seeing this collaboration and cooperation amongst companies. And I think it's fantastic. But this is really leading into a feature that like I'm pretty excited about, because I think there's going to be some really interesting use cases, and I want to hear what you're thinking. And it's about tap to login.
Yeah, tap to login is a very fun feature that requires a little bit of setup. So if you look at platform SSO, we've got a technology that allows us to link the account creation process on your Mac to a cloud IDP. So you sign in with your username and password that you use everywhere else. So that's great. We looked at that in a shared use scenario, and we said, well, we have guest mode on the Mac. That's great for this temporary session. If we could make it a temporary session that you're authenticated back to your cloud IDP, that'd be pretty cool. So we created authenticated guest mode, which is also coming this year. But we took it a step further, which is to take our badging technology that we've got in Apple Wallet, which allows you to get access to physical locations, right? You tap your watch or your phone, and because you've got your, let's call it employee badge on your phone, it allows you to get into your building. And we're like, well, that's a credential for the user that's stored on your iPhone or your iPad or your iPhone or your watch that you already have. Could we combine that with platform SSO and guest mode? And that's what we were able to do. And so tap to log into Mac, as the name so plainly states, is all about walking up to a shared Mac that's in this authenticated guest mode and being able to use your phone or your watch to log into it within a matter of seconds. It's awesome.
You know, it's funny. I think when I'm thinking about my most used iPhone apps, the wallet might be it at this point. Because you know, it's funny to watch Apple Pay like proliferate around the country, particularly here in the U.S. And you're to the place where like it's almost the exception that I have to get out an actual credit card. And I think these are the kind of use cases you're thinking of, like, okay, retail, healthcare. Like, these are massive, massive improvements and really just kind of just absolutely streamlined security as well. And I think about, like, you know, what you could imagine in a world. It's like, you know, your iPhone, your Apple Watch is kind of like your key to everything. And it's like you could almost go to any computer, maybe you sit down on an iMac. I think this could be one of those features we look back on five years from now. And like, this might be the most used feature of this year's crop of new features. I think it's going to be incredible and a lot of very, very cool use cases.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I find particularly fun about it. One of them is, so a few months back, Emory University announced that they were going to be rolling out Macs at a specific hospital powered by a lot of work that the team had done, but also powered by Epic coming to the Mac, which is a super popular electronic medical records software. If you don't know about it, it's like one of the most amazing pieces of software in the healthcare space that nobody knows about. Everybody's using it all the time. Anyway, that came to the Mac recently. Super exciting. So Emory is moving forward with this. And we talked to them a lot about the experience that they wanted to have. And so this tap to login was a big part of that. The thing that's interesting is they're giving all their nurses an iPhone and a watch. So this will be real in their hospital when we roll this software out. So we're excited to kind of get that over the line. But it's also, if you think about like financial services, they do a lot of hoteling and hot desking where there's just a system that sits on the desk and people walk up and use it temporarily. All those folks have iPhones or watches. And so that's really cool. And then the other thing that I think is interesting about it is you don't have to be doing the badging for physical access yet. Like, this isn't, oh, this will be a great thing for when we've updated all of our physical infrastructure. Like, the beauty of it is that you could start using this for this use case, even if you're still rolling out the hardware side of this for your actual facilities. And so, it allows you to pick it up whichever side of the equation that you're on. And if you've already done the physical access stuff, this is just gravy on top. And if you haven't gotten started there, you don't have to wait until all that's ready before you get started with some of the technology pieces that you'll eventually need.
Yeah. And for people listening, like, if you've been to any sort of doctor's office, hospital in the last couple of years, I promise you, somebody you've met with is using Epic. It really is, one of the largest. And I think it's really interesting and awesome that they're the trend is like everything in the web, SaaS apps, and it's like they've realized there's some huge benefits to going native on Mac OS. And I think that creates a great experience. I mean, I know like I'm faster, like I still will have to sit down at PCs at times, various things. I am so much faster on a Mac than I am Windows. I just it is what it is. I have things set up the way I like them. And when you think about like if you can shave off, minutes at a time on for a nurse or a doctor of entering data, working logins, like that compounds itself daily, weekly, monthly, yearly into spending more time with patients and less time dealing with technology. And I think that's what Tap to Login is ultimately going to do. It's going to just make it easier. You don't have to think about it. You spend more time talking to your patients and trying to get logged in, waiting on it to boot up. I think it's incredible. And there's tons of use cases you could see possibly in the future where what if instead of TVs in a hotel room, like they have an iMac and, you could somehow like use this to log in. You have all your corporate stuff and you can have a big screen. Like there's 1,000 use cases you can imagine here. And this, I think it just opens up a ton, and it's building upon that foundation of, like you said, Apple Wallet, platform SSL. Like there's tons of things here that have had to come together and you're like, oh, we can do this now. And I think Emery, and we'll have a link to a little bit more information about that in the show notes. Like, I think that's a great example. This is good. It's good for doctors, good for nurses, good for patients, win for everybody.
And at the end of the day, it also just feels, I think, pretty cool. You just walk up and you tap your phone and you're logged into your computer. It's almost like space age.
Well, it's the next evolution of like unlocking your Mac with your Apple Watch. It's like, oh, this again. I went to up to the Northeast earlier this summer, and I genuinely, outside of maybe one or two restaurants, and even more restaurants in the U.S. are getting to where you pay, with Apple Pay at the table. I know certainly over in Europe it's basically that way, but it is like where I don't even need a physical credit card, and so it's like Apple Wallet. Apple Wallet may end up being like everybody's most used app. You'll have to like whitelist it from screen time because you have used it so much. Let's talk about DDM this year. Continuing to move the rest of the IT experience on communication to DDM. It's not like it's coming. It's here, and it should not be something that you're kind of building towards. What advice to IT teams you would have here on making sure they're ready for a world where DDM is the only way to make this happen?
In some ways, and I guess IT people might be the exception to this, but in some ways you kind of don't want people to even have to worry about what it is. It's just, are your tools doing the most modern things they can? Are you getting the features that are most current? So if we release something that's DDM only, as a customer, we hope you just get it and you don't really need to know that it was DDM only. And so a lot of the DDM only things that we've been doing are definitely the newer things that folks have asked for. So last year you saw us do this with Software Update. This year, we did a little bit more with Software Update, so much so that we let everybody know that the, kind of what we call the V1 way of doing this for Software Update is now deprecated. And you'll see things like Safari management and other stuff that's DDM only this year. So a lot of that conversation is with the device management service providers and the vendors there to make sure that they're doing everything they can. But as a customer, you just kind of, I think, want to make sure that you've got all the latest stuff, that folks understand that this is the case, that DDM is absolutely the way forward. And we're going to continue to push pretty hard to get people over the line. Because what you don't want is this to be something that kind of lingers, and then you've got two different architectures in place for longer than is necessary. So we're trying to push as hard as we can without making it totally uncomfortable, but a little bit of discomfort to try to get us to where we want to go. Because I think even since the early days when we announced it, everybody has seen how powerful it can be, how much more efficient it can be, all those things, all the benefits of it, everybody's really clear on. It's just a matter of getting people through the migration, so to speak.
Well, I think we've seen I'm thinking of a recent one. I'm not going to go down that path, but like, one of the things that I believe that Apple has done really well in the enterprise is not letting legacy stuff hold people back. It's like at some point we've got to cut off and we've got to move forward, and it's going to be painful for a bit. But I would there are things when you can deal with the pain of migrating things today to new architectures, etc. I would much rather do it today than have to deal with a major problem 3 years from now, because 3 years from now, that problem is going to be much, much worse. And again, this is also one of the benefits of Apple, of really having a tight, cohesive hardware, software ecosystem, that there's a lot that, you can control that experience. And so I think it's, I think this is where, as you mentioned, IT teams, if you're still have questions, concern here, your device management service vendors, that's who you want to lean on and kind of know a roadmap. And in reality, it's not even about knowing a roadmap. It's if we don't have it now, why not? So,
I think that we all recognize that change can be tricky, but I think that we're all in this kind of technology space because we want to be a part of that change. And the thing that we've just been really focused on for the last few years is just being good about transitioning people of this is the new thing. The old thing still exists, because there have been times in the past where it's like the old thing's not the thing anymore, but we don't know what the new thing is yet. And that's just like not the way to go. So it's there's a new thing. Here's what it is. We think it's ready for you now. The old thing's going to be around for a little while, but eventually it's going to go away. And we're going to make sure that you've got everything you need to transition. And so if you just take the software update stuff as a little case study of that, it was like, hey, there's a new thing we've got to get to. The old way of doing this, isn't going to work anymore, but we want to let you know we're working on it. And then we shipped it, we iterate on it, and we're now at the point where it's like, okay, the old way has to go. And so I think if we communicate the path forward and communicate the end of the kind of old way really well, like I said, it's change and it can be hard, but it's something that's manageable and people can plan for it, as opposed to it being a big surprise, which not the kind of way you want to do change.
Well, certainly not in enterprise IT. And I think, I'm visualizing there's like a phase in, phase out. And it's like, we're going to phase this in over a couple of years, and we're going to phase this out simultaneously. And so it is, no one should be surprised.
Yeah.
This has all been kind of forecasted, but eventually you have to get to the phase out. And that's, I think, where it's hard in technology to just say, hey, the old thing doesn't work anymore. Sorry. Like nobody likes to do that. I mean, I even think about like video game emulators. Like there's just a point, like we're all trying to keep old things alive forever, but they're, and it's as much like you have to get rid. It's hard to, if you're maintaining old things, you've got bugs that will crop up and it's hard to build around. But then there's just security problems of leaving the old things up forever, and you just have to phase out. And there's always that 1 year it's out, and that's going to be awkward. But then like the next year, everybody is better for it. And so I think Apple has shown the willingness to do the hard work. And some of that's just like, you just have to kind of communicate it well. And everybody just has to get on board, because that's ultimately going to end up with a better user experience for customers. This isn't like we were bored, so we're going to make a new thing. Like, no, we're re-architecting this to be better, be more modern, and scale for the next, however many years. And it's hard to do. But Jeremy, congrats on a great release this year. We're excited about all the things coming out. Lots of big wins for IT teams. I just am so, I think I have been shocked in the last 10 years of how much Apple has been willing to meet IT teams where they are at with solutions and services and solving problems. And so, from this side of the house, thanks, because that's actually the harder way to do it. And Apple has shown a willingness to meet IT teams where they're at and listen to what they want and then go back and solve problems for them. So congrats on just an incredible release.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Yeah, this is an exciting one. Lots more to do, but this is definitely an exciting year.
Well, thanks everybody for listening this week. We'll have links in the show notes. You can check out more about what Apple is launching this fall for end users, but also the things that are coming for IT teams. And as Jeremy said, some of this is available now that you can already, tinker with. If you want to go ahead and test the device management service migration, you can do that as well. That'll be through your Apple Business Manager, Apple School Manager account. So again, thanks for everybody for listening this week, and we'll talk to you next time.